power of Google.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Since Google went public 3 years ago, the company has obliterated Wall Street's expectations almost every single quarter. Yesterday, the search engine did it again. Google beat analyst predictions by 38 cents a share. Profits increased 69% over last year's first quarter. And Google's even been on a spending spree, buying the websites YouTube and DoubleClick. Our Lisa Napoli explains why those were good moves.
These are smart acquisitions that Google needs to grow. They're spending this money in order to make money, to dominate advertising. They need to own advertising even more than they already do. And even though both of these acquisitions are controversial, they're giving them more mind share.
In after-hours trading, Google's stock shot up 3% to $471 a share. As for the rest of Wall Street, the mood was fairly negative, but the final results were mixed. The Dow put on 4 points to 12,808, the highest close ever. But the NASDAQ fell 5 points to 2,505. The S&P 500 dropped a point to 1,470. Today, China's stock market recouped most of yesterday's 4.5% loss. Japan's Nikkei added 0.5%. In Washington today, National Guard and Reserve leaders will ask Congress for the funding they need next year. Jeremy Hobson tells us why this request is so important.
The National Guard and Reserves are a million strong, and at times those forces have made up a third of the troops in Iraq. But typically, says Winslow Wheeler of the Center for Defense Information, presidents lowball the budget request for Guard and Reserves.
Nobody anticipated the Guard and Reserve would have to actually go to war, and we ended up with a huge bleeping mess.
There is already talk of shortfalls in the budget request, $40 billion for equipment and training here at home. One reason for that, says Gordon Adams at the Woodrow Wilson Center, Guard units have to leave their machinery in Iraq for the next rotation of troops.
That means the next unit coming to deploy in Iraq or Afghanistan may be training on simulators or only on a handful of pieces of equipment that are in the United States.
Equipment is not the only problem. Today, Guard and Reserve leaders will also be asking for more bonuses and incentives. They're behind in their recruiting. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
At the Shanghai Auto Show today, GM unveils a new car called the Volt. It runs on a fuel cell and apparently can go for 300 miles on it. Elisa Roth has more on GM's thinking here.
Technology is clean and very cutting edge. And that's the problem. It's so cutting edge that it doesn't exactly exist yet. GM's planning to have the car in production by the end of the decade, but that might not really be the point. Alan Baum is a consultant with the Michigan firm, The Planning Edge. He says GM knows the alternative fuel business is the, well, key to its success. Turning out prototypes like the Volt is a way to show Wall Street that it's on the right road.
They want to be viewed as a global company that is, in fact, going in the right direction, as opposed to what many people view them as a North American company going the wrong direction.
North Americans still aren't buying GM cars, but people in Asia, Latin America, and elsewhere are. GM's reporting record sales around the world. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
I'm spending a lot of time in sports bars right now. That's about the only way I can watch my beloved Buffalo Sabres in the hockey playoffs, because most of the games are on a little-known network called Versus. And even though people are filling arenas around the country to watch the playoffs, the NHL's TV ratings are abysmal. Our business of sports commentator Diana Nyad is here. Good morning, Diana.
Scott, how are you?
I'm doing good.
You hockey buff, you?
I am a hockey fan. But apparently I'm one of seven people watching the playoffs, right?
It's just about that small. I mean, the recent numbers I got for this first round of the playoffs, 267,000 people per game. nationwide on television. You know, and I understand the love and the passion for the game, but the numbers just aren't there. The fans are not there.
I guess there's a disconnect between the casual sports fan and people like me who love the sport, because to me it's the most exciting time of any sport is playoff hockey.
And I hear that from you. I hear it from friends. I respect the game so much. I know what conditioning it takes. It's more than that, though. It's the puck. I was watching a replay from a playoff game the other day, and the announcers, they were out of their minds excited to say, oh, my God, look at the speed on this. Look at the turn of this guy's stick. Look at it. And I'm looking. I look at the replay like six angles, and I cannot see the puck. I watched it six times. I had no idea where the puck was. So, you know, how can I relate?
I think it's kind of like one of those puzzles where they have the green and red and blue dots, and you're supposed to look into it and see a spaceship or something.
Right.
Well, I see the spaceship.
I want to like it. I've gone with friends when I lived in New York to Rangers games. And by the way, you know, this past weekend, you know, NASCAR in New York City beat by 38% the Rangers playoff game. In New York City, NASCAR, it's just poker. Last weekend, poker on NBC beat a playoff game in hockey.
Well, what does the NHL do about this? I mean, they talked about having an NHL network. Is that the answer?
Honestly, they've been talking about it for years, and I would think logically it would be the answer. Take a dedicated 24-hour channel where you don't have to go out and beg advertisers, and the tennis channel's done fairly well. They're still working hard to make sure they're in all markets, but the NHL has promised its fans a dedicated 24 hours, but like we said before, if you're only carrying less than 300,000 people per playoff game, how are you going to support 24 hours of programming?
All right, well, I will go back to watching hockey now.
Go Sabres.
Thanks, Diana. Our Business of Sports commentator, Diana Nyad. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.